work, and I think has probably exceeded expectations of people that have been in these positions previously. He does have, I think I have in here, a double major, he extends his volunteer services and serves as a treasurer of the Native American Cultural Group. Of any area of the references, that was probably the one place where they really couldn't make a comment about what his financial background or financial experience would be, but he does serve in that capacity, and I'm sure it's not a budget of over $1 million that he's responsible for. But that's the only one area that anyone said that they really didn't have an indication of what his expertise would be on the board. They find him to be very personable. He's very engaging. He listens to people. He asks questions. And I think a sense from those that I've interviewed that he really tries to listen very closely to try to build consensus as well. The other area is another caveat when I talked to these individuals was, again, reminding that this is a student. And so the breadth of the experience is not going to be as wide as a traditional person applying for the regents. But there was no kind of lack in competence of what he would be able to bring, his perspectives, and being a viable contributor if he were to be selected and to be on.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Joanne regarding Drew?
Again, good checks, I think. And there were other references, but I felt with the four, they are all very consistent. I did not attempt to follow through. I think there were another six opportunities to do further follow-ups with those.
So help me put the pieces together. Drew is an undergrad?
Yes.
As was our last interview, I think.
Yes. It was in the second year, I believe it was.
I got one question. I guess just intrigued me, because he's not a native of Minnesota.
Not from Minnesota.
So
that's not my understanding, that he's from
Illinois. So how does he end up here? I mean, he's an undergraduate.
I think that'd be a very good question. It might be because of the Native Studies program. That's not his major, but that may be why he chose to come to the University of Minnesota. Or it may have been the opportunity of having this scholarship available as well.
Okay.
I mean, that's a significant scholarship to be awarded.
So I'm going to put the other pieces of the puzzle together as well. It's a requirement that regents need to be residents of Minnesota, I believe.
And we'll have to find out if that's here.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think it says applicants for regents have to be residents of Minnesota.
Yes.
Is that what you said? I thought maybe you said that the regents had to be residents, but applicants.
You caught me. I did say regents. So you're right. I think it does say applicants.
Because the president of Maine did establish residency when he was one of the finalists, and he is still residing here, and they're recruiting him for boards all over. So. I just thought I'd share that since I did that reference check.
Thanks for the update, Margaret.
I thought he ended up in Maryland.
Any more comments or
like
questions
that, huh?
About Drew?
I thought he ended up in Maryland.
Then I would like to move on. Jim, you did the reference check. First thing, if you could tell us how to pronounce his name.
I will.
Couple of moves.
At least me.
Okay.
I will. Thank you. I was honored and delighted to do the reference checks on Arturo, which is right down Arturo. It's as close as you can come to the proper way.
Arturo.
Think of Arturo. He may say it slightly differently, Margaret, but Arturo is what he's generally known as because nobody else can figure out how to pronounce his first name. And Tushu. Put down Tushu. Arturo Tushu.
Tushu.
I'm going to steal a line from Lois's. Lois's vetting and her report puts us all to shame. But I'm going to steal a line from her blue section report with respect to Mr. Nguyen. And a statement was made about Mr. Nguyen by one of his evaluators that he is the very best professional I have ever worked with. And I want to say that at least two, if not three. And I didn't ask the question in that way with a fourth of the people I interviewed would say the same thing about Arturo Cruz, the very best professional that he had ever worked with. High praise indeed, especially from the people who are his references. I had detailed conversations with all of them, but I chose and I found nothing negative. So I could have gone on for pages, as some of you have, but I wanted to select the terms that they used in their words that I think describe him. And when you hear from Arturo this afternoon, I think you'll see why they've done that. And I did attach a précis by Nate Jarvis, one of his colleagues, because Nate was so articulate in describing him, and I said, Nate, I can't do justice to what you said, so if you would look at the one-page attachment, I think it sums up the views and the recommendations about Arturo Tushu and how he would fit in the Board of Regents. And again, I want to say that for at least these people, and for myself included, he is, if not the best, among the very, very best professionals I've ever worked with. So I think I can't imagine that others may have the same level of support from their references. I can't imagine that anybody has a higher level of support from their references than Arturo. I want to make a one point now what that means. Reference number 4, Nate Jarvis's discussion. I quoted one thing there before because he didn't say it in his written material, which I ask you to read carefully. The last man standing at Dayton Hudson target transition. And what he means by that was when new CEO, whose name now escapes me, one or two CEOs again when they were transitioning Dayton Hudson into Target, he basically turned over the whole upper management of Target and Dayton Hudson, the whole upper management. And the one man that stayed and survived that transition and thrived in the prior environment and in the new environment was Arturo Cruz. I think that's what I say here is, as I say, there's no reservations. That's the main, I think, issue that our vetting does to find out if there's some negatives that we don't know about. And I found none here. And clearly, I think his recommendations are as good as they could be.
I probably should add, because I worked with Arturo, he was chair of the University of Minnesota Alumni Association Board. And through the years, I worked with 27 volunteers in that role, and then 4 at cystic fibrosis, so a total of 31 volunteers. And I would put him in the top 3. And when I think of Regent, when in 1987 we started thinking that if a Regent could really help the president, what type of person would that be? Arturo is that kind of a person. I also think Dennis is. There will be other people that we see that are, but I cannot speak highly enough for him. He is Turkish and Yugoslavian. He is Muslim. He brings so much diversity because he's lived it. You know, he doesn't read about it or talk about it or, postulate what it might be like. He's done it.
If I might, I'd follow up on that. I want to make that point. Margaret made it well for me. One of the tests here and across the street is the term diversity. And too often that, very often that gets defined as gender diversity. And I think we need to have a broader definition of diversity. That clearly he brings. Margaret referenced the religious diversity, the international experience diversity, the ethnic diversity. He is not just another, as we say, old white guy applying. He brings diversity.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I'm an old white guy. And he brings more than that. So I think you'll all see that, and I think the bottom line is he clearly has passed the reference hurdle
in every way that anybody could.
Any more comments for to ask Jim about the reference checks? Then I would like to move on to Paul. Did you do the checks for Abdul?
I did. Abdul Amari is a graduate student at the University of Minnesota pursuing a doctoral degree, an excellent scholar. He also has unique experience in that he has served as a member of the Regents student cohort and was the leader of that cohort in the second year of his two-year term in that particular responsibility. So he is quite familiar with the sixth floor of the McNamara Alumni Center. His father is from Kenya. His mother is from Jordan. He graduated from South High School. He's outstanding. I took the liberty of going beyond the four references that he included in his application to talk to two more. The fifth is a university senior administrator, and the sixth is a city regent. And so they were all universal in praise, an excellent listener, a person who's able to bring groups together to achieve positive outcomes, being a leader without being a bully, an excellent listener. His verbal skills are top rate. His written skills are quite good. None of the references were able to speak specifically to his financial management skills, but I think that that's probably not unusual when we're interviewing for a student regent position, that they're in a different type of circumstance and environment. But no reservations, no weaknesses, quite outstanding references.
Any comments? Excuse me, not comments. Questions for Paul. We're going to keep our comments for later.
I have a question not for Paul, but procedurally and the way the statute is written, too. This person has applied both as a student at large and as a Fifth District person. That the Fifth District was an addition. And if I understand correctly, as a student, this person would be allowed to continue to work. He is currently employed by the university, and a student can be employed. They're the only members of the Board of Regents that can be employed. So if this person were to be put forward as a fifth congressional district person, we would need to be assured that there would be no conflict of interest. So we need to consider that in our line of questioning this afternoon.
Harriet, can I ask you to just ask that question?
Sure.
And make sure that it's clear.
So I am understanding that correctly. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions for Paul about Abdul? Then moving on to Margaret for reference checks on Linda Cohen.
I checked her four references, and it was advised that I check with one of the retired vice presidents at the university because they would have a unique perspective on her leadership. She is currently chair of the Board of Regents. She is past chair of a Wayzata school district, currently still serves on that board. She is called strategic and political. I asked for major issues that she was responsible for as chair or vice chair. They were the selection of the president and onboarding of President Kaler, the two conflict of interest issues that related to Regent Sviggum that ultimately resulted in him leaving the Board of Regents, the illness of Ann Cieslak, who was the executive director of the Regents, the wonderful transition that they did with a very difficult situation in the hiring of a new staff, and then most recently the public furor in the press on the compensation of departing administrators that she played a leadership role on. She's called a gold standard of administrators. So I probed on two things, because if you sit in her position, the bar should be higher than anybody we talk to, and certainly higher than the students. So I talked about talked to people about how well she works with Kaler, because he's a strong man. This is a man with strong opinions. They said that she is able to talk to him very candidly. She nurtures, coaches, guides, and partners, but she can talk to him very straightforward. I also ask about finance, because it's something that concerns me that we look at that. And one of the references said the school board that she is on is blessed with volunteers with a wealth of financial talent, but she knows how to ask for clarification of complex issues, how to probe, when to ask for follow-up, but she knows when not to micromanage. Her strengths, the wonderful thing is they all said the same thing on both her strengths and weaknesses, which makes me feel good about both. Her strengths are she's strategic and she's smart. They said she may have a clear belief in where an issue should go, but she genuinely lets others voice their views. She can change her mind. But at the end, she threads her ideas with those of the majority in a way that makes everybody feel good. Now, I am a firm believer that you probe for weaknesses. There's nobody who is governed at a high level who doesn't have a weakness. That's a misnomer, or they haven't been to the big dance. And they all say that it's the flip side of her ability to gather everybody in and listen to all of their opinions. At times, people wish Linda would just step right out there, say, this is what I think, and then tried to persuade everybody to walk along. But then this person said, but she particularly tries hard to listen to people who don't fit the norm and to walk in their shoes and see through their eyes. Her communication skills, she is called calm, reflective, and wise. And the vice president I interviewed at the university said she truly reads the bios of award winners. And when she gets to these events, she makes them the star, not her the star. What makes her unique? She understands K through 12, and that's important. That's our feeder system. She understands counseling. That's her professional background. And many of the issues that I listed to you related to counseling. She is a female. She is Jewish. Many of the people who sit in that chair would say, I believe I will be a good regent. Linda has proven and demonstrated she is a good regent.
Chairman?
Yes, George.
I can maybe add a little bit to that also. I spoke to a regent about the two people that are currently on the board that whose term is up. And the fellow I talked to had nothing but the highest praise for Ms. Cohen, Mrs. Cohen. And I don't know her personally. I haven't met her, but that was his take, that she deserves to be reelected and reappointed to the board.
Any more questions for Margaret about Linda? Our next interview is scheduled for 12:30. So, I would say let's try to be back in the room by 12:20, so we can do introductions and we start a few minutes early again. We've been keeping very much on schedule today. Thank you for all of that.
Mr. Chair, are we leaving the room?
Well, we do have lunches here. But
where do people take them?
You can go ahead and see the swearing in.
So it's not a working lunch. We're just we have no business over lunch.
I think unless
we're caught up. So we're free to go where we want.
We do have an issue to discuss at some point, and that is our voting procedure. Mm-hmm. That's one of the loose ends from our December meeting that we didn't decide on. If you'd like to have further discussion on that now, we can, or we can also do that tomorrow morning or Thursday morning. So, consensus, do you want to take a break? Do you want to grab our lunches and talk about voting for a few minutes and sit around here and eat lunches and talk voting?
Break.
I've got break loud in my ear.
I got lunch over here.
You've got lunch.
I've been working through it.
Okay. I have a reference check to finish.
Okay. with four interviews this afternoon, why don't we take a break?
I would also just want to say that personally, I think this is the smoothest review of references that I've seen in the three or four cycles that I've been through here. I really like it and encourage us to continue down this path.
Gary?
I can add to that, saying that whoever wrote the kind of outline for it, that's what made the difference.
Because I followed it just as I sat on the phone.
So did I. I found that very, very...
Paul did that.
I think it was Paul, wasn't it?
So I'm not sure who we give the credit to, but well done. Well done. Whoever did